Welcome to Path to Zero, the podcast about clean energy and the journey toward a low-carbon future. Your host is Tucker Perkins, engineer, entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, and clean energy industry veteran, who now serves as president and CEO of the Propane Education and Research Council. Now, here's Tucker.
Well, welcome to the Path to Zero. On this podcast, you might say we're going on a quest to find, well, zero. By zero, I mean a zero emissions future for our country and our world. I'm really looking forward to taking what I expect will be a journey of discovery. And if you're interested in this topic, you likely already have an understanding for just how complex and confusing the road ahead can be. That's why on each episode, I'm going to invite experts to talk through a variety of topics related to where things stand and where we're headed in an effort to achieve a low-carbon future. I'd like to start from a place of agreement with you just to set the tone and the stage for the episodes to come. So here's what I want to say up front, and some of you may be surprised by it. The dramatic and negative effects of climate change, driven by increasing carbon dioxide and methane in the atmosphere, are a tremendous challenge. Most of the scientific community agrees that humans are putting too much carbon up into the air and that the world is on a problematic track. Fair enough. I know I didn't emphatically say that we're facing the end times if we don't immediately stop everything that contributes CO2 to the atmosphere. I know that I didn't put a giant stake in the ground declaring a globe-changing goal, because if I'm honest, I don't know if anyone knows what the perfect goal is, let alone how to achieve it. That means my starting point is different. It's to acknowledge that a zero emissions future is a good idea. No reasonable person I've met believes otherwise, and so I'm pleased to be in conversations not about unachievable goals, but in smart, incremental progress. I'm an engineer by training, and so I'm motivated by the motto of the Olympics, Citius Altus Fortius, faster, higher, stronger. Olympic athletes don't become world-class overnight just by stating that as their goal. Reaching that level of competitiveness takes daily actions, discipline, coaching, focus, and a positive step-by-step process to achieve success. I believe very deeply that we can do the same. Humans are wonderfully clever, and we have the ability to move towards a low carbon and even zero emissions future if we work together. It may be a surprise to hear a guy who works in the propane industry say all of this, but I say it because I wholeheartedly believe that the path to a low carbon future includes energy sources like propane, which we'll talk a lot about in the conversations to come. And why not start a conversation on that front today, just to put the propane industry into the middle of the journey? My guest and good friend, Daniel Dixon, is joining me today. Daniel is about to be the chair of the Propane Education and Research Council. He lives in Florence, Alabama, where he's the group director of business development at AmeriGas. For those of you who don't know, AmeriGas is the largest retail propane distributor in the United States. It serves over 1.7 million residential, commercial, and agricultural customers in all 50 states. He's got a big job and he interacts with a lot of people, which is why I'm so glad to have him join me as our first guest on Path to Zero. Daniel, welcome. Glad to have you and glad to talk with you.
Hey, thanks, Tucker. Good to be on with you. And I'm honored to be the featured guest on the very first episode of Path to Zero.
Yes, this is our very first episode, and there's a reason I wanted you to be the first one to join me. I'm guessing that right now, people listening to this might be skeptical of our motives. What right, you may hear some saying, does propane, a fossil fuel, have to be in the conversations about a low-carbon future? I mean, we might as well just cut to the heart of the matter and just say out loud, people who agree with the idea of a low-carbon, zero-emissions future may think we're the problem. So we have nothing to offer in terms of the solutions.
We know some of those people, Tucker. So yes, you're right about that opinion existing. But you know what? It's not one we shouldn't let it derail us. You and I and those of us in the propane industry, we didn't sign up for the all or nothing, either or arguments that leave us nowhere. Some people say the only way to reduce CO2 is to force everyone to use 100% electricity, or the only way to save the planet is by forcing cities to build more nuclear plants. I get that there are vocal advocates for these positions, and many of those advocates make really good points about the worthiness of the energy they believe in. But the challenge is there's no perfect energy. We've watched for years how the all or nothing mentality has just caused massive public policy fights that could be more productive and actually move us toward a low carbon future. Instead, enormous sums of money are wasted on the wrong goal. In my opinion, the goal isn't about picking one energy source over another. That's totally impractical to start with. The real goal should be how we weave together the lowest carbon energy sources possible to serve everyone. And Tucker, since I'm your incoming board chair, I can join with you to make our position as an industry crystal clear. We believe our country can and should get on the path to zero. Practically speaking, we also believe that journey can be done at a smart pace that achieves qualitative gains in CO2 reduction without wrecking the lives and livelihoods of millions of people. And you know what? We're already seeing the transformation of the energy sector underway. America is moving down this path. For example, just a few weeks ago, the EIA released its snapshot of electricity generation in America. Coal, which has always dominated the category, represents 23% of the current source. Natural gas and propane, and I want us to talk more about that, is at 38%. So you're at 61% already. You can tell I'm a financial guy, can't you? Nuclear is another 20%, and then the balance, just over 17%, comes from the renewables category.
Yeah, you're so right. We've already got a mix of energy sources for generating electricity and creating hot or cold. But wait, do you know which one is missing?
Bingo. Electricity isn't on the list.
Exactly. Our listening audience is pretty sophisticated, so maybe it feels obvious to them, but people really never stop and think about the fact that electricity, unless it's in the form of lightning, isn't even an energy source. It's an energy product that's made from the energy sources we just talked about.
All right, let's take a minute to talk about it, though. The path to zero isn't about electricity in any percentage. It's about the energy source used to make that electricity. If you run across conversations about 100% electric, and I know you have, you just have to stop and help people understand the bigger picture. That bigger picture is about more than the generation, than the juice coming out of the socket.
So you're really talking about the full fuel cycle, right?
Exactly. The energy lost in the production and transmission of electricity through electrical lines means you have to use 3 units of energy to produce 1 unit of electricity. So it's not a super efficient system.
I know those numbers. I read one estimate that to achieve a zero emission energy grid, a 15-fold increase in clean energy investment will be needed every year going forward. The efficiency problem is one of the big reasons why the price tag on everything electric is so enormous. That really means that our path to zero isn't simply about cleaner energy sources. It's also about moving energy closer to the place it's used so we don't lose as much in the transfer.
All right, so I've laid out my cards, haven't I? Now you know why we strongly believe that propane has to be a part of the journey to zero. It hits the bullseye on those notes and several others. And the EPA has declared it a clean energy alternative. I mean, that's huge. And its form factor, the fact that it's transported very close to where it's used, means it loses nothing from site to source.
Pretty good story, and also a pretty good place for us to take a break. When we come back, Daniel and I are going to take a walk up and down the energy continuum and think more about the low-carbon energy mix that moves us forward.
Zero is a big number. Getting close to a future of zero emissions starts with using the broadest mix of clean, low-carbon energy sources. You might be surprised to know that propane produces a lot of energy for thousands of purposes and millions of people with virtually zero particulate matter, zero impact to the ozone, zero toxicity, and zero potential for storage-related contamination. It's low NOx and low CO2 to boot. Path to Zero is sponsored by Propane, Clean American Energy. Learn more at cleanamericanenergy.us.
Okay, Daniel, so far we've made it clear. We're both, and our industry is, in agreement that moving toward a low carbon, even a zero emissions future, is a good thing. We've also agreed that a mix of energy is the path toward that future. And before the break, I started talking about the energy continuum.
Tucker, I'm glad you brought that up, and I've heard you talk to groups about it before. And I'll say it again, there's no perfect energy. It almost starts sounding like a catchphrase, doesn't it? Even renewables present substantial life cycle challenges to the environment. Wind turbine blades, for example, you know the ones I'm talking about, 325 footers. They're longer than a football field. Those are typically made from fiberglass composite, and they have a life cycle of 18 to 25 years. Just think about it. They have to be sawed into shorter pieces and then put in a landfill. It's very difficult to recycle fiberglass composite. Solar panels are pretty much the same. They last about 20 to 25 years, and the special glass recycled to make industrial scale solar feasible is tough to recycle. It can be done, but it's an energy and labor intensive process. And you can just go on down the list. And if listeners want a bone jarring view of these challenges, watch the film that Michael Moore just produced. It's called Planet of the Humans. It provides a front row seat to the realities of the renewable industry.
Yeah, watch that film. For listeners, you can go check it out on YouTube and it's free. The reality of our world is that we need a cleaner mix of energy use to make our way towards a low carbon future. What I say to those I talk to on the subject is this: fuels aren't binary. They're not just clean or dirty, not simply good or bad. They exist on a continuum from very clean to very dirty. And so when we talk about the path to zero, the logic's pretty straightforward. In order to meet our modern day energy demands and work our way toward a low carbon future, we ought to find ways to use more of the cleaner energy than we use of the dirtier energy.
Totally agree. It helps to know the continuum, though. I mean, the EPA has declared propane a clean energy, but again, we're the first to say it's not perfect.
Yeah, sure, that's true. So let's start on the dirty end and work our way to the cleaner end. And we're talking about carbon emissions when we're ticking down this list. But if you think about it, some of the dirtier fuels, coal, we can all agree on coal. Then you get into waste oils, and then you get into some of the more refined oils like diesel fuel and home heating oil, kerosene, gasoline, jet fuel. And now we're to some of the cleaner fuels like propane and natural gas.
You're right, Tucker. But if I'm listening right now, the one you didn't mention is the cleanest, so to speak, cleanest on the list, and that's municipal solid waste. I guess that's pretty tough, though. You're talking about high heat incineration of garbage. It smells bad, and it's not easy to just have a pile of it next to your house that you keep feeding into a firebox.
Yeah, I don't often talk about municipal solid waste as a form of energy. Really, if burning garbage was going to be practical, we'd have figured out how to put it next to your house, Daniel, and in your car with you. But since it's not, you're really off the hook.
I appreciate that. You know my wife, and I don't think my family would appreciate the ambiance it would create in our backyard. But one thing we haven't discussed, where does hydrogen fit in the continuum? Isn't it a clean fuel as well?
You know, you're right. It doesn't find a place on this list because when it comes to carbon, hydrogen registers a zero. It's the ultimate clean energy because when it burns, it just produces water. The chemistry is pretty simple. Hydrogen's an element by itself. On the periodic table, it's represented by the singular letter H. In the presence of oxygen and heat, it creates H2O, water. From a carbon standpoint, that's terrific. But just like all of our energy sources, it's not perfect. Hydrogen gets made, like propane, from natural gas through a reforming process or through electrolysis. Here's a surprise. The most efficient steam methane reform process is enabled by propane. When methane reactions take place, they do so at temperatures well above 750 degrees centigrade, sometimes as much as 1,000 degrees centigrade. When the reforming process is propane-based, hydrogen gets produced at much lower temperatures, 200 to 350 degrees C. A much lower temperature means much less energy used. Propane shows up in the world in all kinds of interesting ways, doesn't it? The biggest challenges for hydrogen is in scale, because it's held back in large part by its high cost. The gasoline per gallon equivalent is between $5 and $6 a gallon, and hydrogen fuel cell cars aren't cheap. Hyundai has a car called the Nexo. It starts at about $60,000. The other problem is refueling. Even in states like California, where you might think they would love this idea, there are currently only 39 public hydrogen fueling stations and another 25 in development.
Wow. It's the same thing we were talking about earlier. In a perfect world, hydrogen might be our one and only fuel source, but we don't live in that perfect world just yet.
No, and that's the journey we're on. Today, you've helped me set the table for the road ahead. Propane can and should play an important role in the path to a low-carbon future. And its low-carbon attributes are really just one reason. It's portable. It's not dependent on a grid. It's really affordable. Its flexible form factor means a storage tank can fit in even to a sensitive habitat without destroying it. There's a lot to like about it, and I hope with Path to Zero, we're able to help others realize what an important contribution it can make. Hey, Daniel, thanks for joining me.
Hey, I really enjoyed it, Tucker. You're welcome. I look forward to more of the Path to Zero episodes. And you know what? We ought to do something for every guest you have on the show. One of the great partners we've had over the years is Acadia National Park in Southeast Maine. They only use propane-powered buses to ferry park visitors around. I was thinking it'd be a great idea to sponsor the planting of a new tree in Acadia in honor of every guest that joins the show going forward. Then I found out that you can't sponsor a tree in national parks, but you can sponsor a tree in national forests.
Well, I love that idea. Do you want to be the first one to pick a place?
Sure. As you know, I'm in Florence, Alabama, so I'd love to make a contribution to the Bankhead National Forest, which is close by. It's named in honor of William Bankhead, a longtime U.S. representative, but it's also known as the Land of 1,000 Waterfalls. And it's home to Alabama's only national wild and scenic river, the famous Sipsey Fork.
Well, feels like you've got an oak or a pine tree in mind for Bankhead. That would be a great fit. And it's a great start to the creation of what we'll call the Propane National Forest, a virtual forest all over the country honoring every podcast guest. Thanks for joining me, Daniel. And for all of you listening, we'll find you next time on the Path to Zero.
This has been Path to Zero with Tucker Perkins. Subscribe and learn more at cleanamericanenergy.us. And if you like what you have heard, rate us on whatever platform you use to listen to your podcasts.